Down to Brass Sacks, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, I am a first-time caller.
Pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. I am calling to bring awareness. This is about child care, private child care in Barbados. As most people know, when COVID hit Barbados throughout the world, we were closed from March to mid-March, sometime until now. I barely understand the pressure that COVID has placed upon the world, including Barbados and our government. But we have been out of business for a while. We've tried via letters, et cetera, to get the attention of the government. Now, this has not gained us any ground, period. My thing about it is that we have no idea on when we will be reopening. Nothing in sight. It's okay, you know, for somebody to have, say, okay, we give you 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, or whatever. But while we are waiting, with nothing to work on, we do have bills to pay, financial commitments, which include the same businesses that we have to run. Very few people own their businesses. In the event that you still own your business, you still somehow have to pay the utilities and keep the premises up to date, etc. Now, on the other hand, whose landlord in their right mind is going to allow a tenant for 6 to 9 months with a big question mark, not knowing when we will reopen? We do respect and understand that the government is trying to protect the children of Barbados. But if you take a good look at it, when we sit and we open back the company and the country, and I think they're going to fully open back around the 15th or so. If I'm wrong, please excuse me. However, when you do that, what's going to happen to child care? Now, we have children who are being kept by people. Anybody, you could really say, because when a parent has to go back out to work, it means they need money. Therefore, child care is not there. So I'm going to have to ask the father who never kept the child before, who I don't want to. People that I don't necessarily want to keep the child. Somebody might say, I'll keep them, but 2 or 3 weeks pass and the child becomes annoying. You have to do things for a child, like feed the child, look after the child's interests or babies or whatever. Therefore, when you leave that, these same people collect their children from working daily in their social environment with their co-workers, catching the bus, probably giving rides or getting rides with people home back to that same environment. So it's the same exact thing as letting a child come to child care.
Now, just before you, just give me a second here, because
First
of all, I think part of the real issue that you're facing is that we've been in lockdown for a long time, and the authorities have been trying to work out exactly what are the protocols that you're going to put in place for childcare. That is an issue which I suspect it is taking them time, not necessarily because it is only about the types of issues that you face in dealing with small children who will, play with each other and that sort of thing, but because there are other areas too that require protocols. So I appreciate the real stress that you are under, your business is under. There's one thing you said in there that I hope we don't live in this world where a woman will say, you have to leave your child with a father that you don't want to leave it with, because I would think...
Not necessarily want to, because they're not accustomed to leaving them with the father. So therefore, where you are faced now with a situation where you don't have anybody to leave with, you would then say, okay, go with daddy. The child is not accustomed to it. The parent is not accustomed to it. So therefore, it's a little unrest.
But you don't think that that's something to be encouraged?
Very much so. It's something to be encouraged, definitely, but not if it's done abruptly. That is something that we as child care, that's what I was going to say to you. We are not ignorant in child care. We are well trained. You understand? We are trained in CPR. We literally.
So what would you recommend to the government in terms of the protocols that need to be put in place to make sure that we minimize the extent to which people are at risk?
Okay, the usual protocols that the government have in place for everybody throughout the world, that comes first. Then we honor whatever decision they come up to make along with us.
Have you spoken to anybody in an official capacity about this matter and what difficulties they may be facing on it?
No, we've tried. A couple of weeks ago, we had a Zoom meeting with somebody from the health.
Yeah.
However, I would not call names, but so far we've not heard anything from that either. And not that I'm saying that we must have or we need a date. One of the things about it is if we're going to be closed for so long, we would love some kind of assistance, because I believe that the same way that things has been put in place to assist other businesses, that it can be for us. Remember, some of us pay rent for our homes and for our businesses.
Understood.
What's going to happen? So many daycares have closed already. This is something that they have not even looked
into.
About
how many of them have closed, as far as you know,
since
COVID?
Probably about seven has closed so far.
Seven?
Now, this is a psychological, emotional strain on people. Now, remember, we have children to feed, to send to school. Nobody don't ask us, wait, you all hungry?
You all have a body, though. You don't have an association.
We do have an association.
Right.
But at the end of the day, sometimes you may have an association, but the association have their own agenda. Because if the association decides, I'm fed up with this, I'm not opening back, stressed. And they're like, whatever is going on.
You sound as though you don't belong to the association. Because you do?
I do belong to the association.
But you're not active in it?
Very much so. But if I sit there and I don't speak up, what's going to happen?
No, but I'm saying that the association should be used as the body that approaches government and the COVID czar to find out, to have some kind of dialogue on the way forward. So if you are part of the organization, therefore, you must have some idea of what they have given you as the direction that they're taking.
There's no direction.
There's none. Okay.
None.
Well, let me put it to you this way. There cannot be a reopening of Barbados, even to the point where we are right now, without serious consideration being given to daycare in Barbados. Because there are too many people, not only daycare, there are a lot of people who are homeschooling. And when you ask them to come back to work, they are having issues with how am I going to deal with this? So this is as important as saying that we need to get the economy rolling again. So I to say that there is nothing in place, I really would have to hear from the authorities what exactly has been happening behind the scenes. They need to explain to Barbadians what they're doing.
Okay,
because
let me try to explain to you.
Yeah.
Child care is complete. Private daycare in Barbados is completely different to government-owned daycares.
Yes.
And private schooling. We are completely different. We are run completely different under another body. Therefore, when government speaks about schooling, they never include daycare, child care, nothing. We understand that there's an issue, COVID, but we need assistance. What is going to happen when there's no daycares open in Barbados? We will be extinct.
That's your major call. You are more concerned about getting the assistance than the reopening, or?
Yes. And then.
So how much money do you think you all would need per daycare to be reasonable?
I have no idea per se, but generally, if they say, well, let's go down to September or January, whatever, we can all come up with an arrangement. Because we would have something to go forward to our landlord. and say, okay, well, government said this, because the people would think that we're penalized or we have money coming in. You know, the one they had the brown sense one time? We're not even getting that. There's not one cent coming in. And this is 99% of our main financial income coming in. Why it is that other people are open? I saw the gyms. There were their
gyms
closed,
open.
Closed.
The gyms
no, no, no,
are open.
No. But they came forward and they spoke about it, which you were saying on their body. Well, that wasn't a body either, but they went on Facebook and whatever. But yes, they can do exercises and stuff outside. Now, some of us have big properties. I have a well-sized property.
Look, this is what
and
I
my thing about
just ma'am.
Yes. Okay.
Ma'am.
I'm here.
I've heard a fair amount of what you're saying. I've heard everything that you said, but I think that the way to address this is by having that dialogue with the relevant authorities on what is being done, explaining your plight. I mean, your concern is that you need to get some kind of financial support. Of course, you know, the answer to that often is that the country is under a lot of pressure and, you know, you can't give everybody. So, but you talk to them through your organization. And you make the case because, as I said, it is not possible to reopen a country and not have daycare facilities available for parents to take their children to them, whether it's public or private. So I take your concern that this is something that, you know, worries not only you but several other people in your business who are on the brink of collapse, some of them. Because it is a business, and if it hasn't been operating for 3 months, then, you know, there's trouble. So talk to the association and see how much movement you can get there, okay? Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you're on the air. Hi.
Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
I want to ask a question. And I want to direct it to the National Insurance about the burial grant. The grant, when you die, right, that will be given to the person who is in charge.
Okay.
So I wanted to know if it's a what is the time limit.
Well, you need to call them. Didn't you call them directly?
I tried calling them and didn't get it through.
My goodness.
And why I call you?
Well, NIS got to be able to find a solution to this problem.
Yeah, but listen, why I call you is because I call in all the time and I ain't getting through them. They're all they doing is getting music in my ears. Right? And then
there are a lot of people who like music to their ears, but
yeah,
not in that way.
And the phone ringing and making believe that somebody is coming, and then the body comes to the phone. Then you're getting back the music in your ear all the time. And not only that, is that a friend of mine, why I call it, a friend of mine was told on the, before the COVID thing came around, that she called and she said, this is the person that it belongs to. And they said that it is still there. But when she went yesterday, somebody tell her that after a year, you can't get it after a year. So I want to know if that is true or not.
I don't know. There's something that the people at the National Insurance will have to tell you. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Fine. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah, I see that you are still very passionate about the Auditor General report. Now, I myself used to be passionate about it too, but then that have gotten quelled. And especially when I saw the one for the Crab Hill Police Station. I say if nothing wasn't going to be done about that, probably nothing was never.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question. And who was supposed to do something about it?
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
But you don't know what? You know full well.
I ain't got the passion.
All the people who were talking about Crab Hill Police Station then had the authority to do something about it.
So, Miss Ellis, I ain't got the passion for that there anymore.
Well, you may not have the passion for it, but other people do.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But I hear you saying this one morning about the reasons why some parishes can't get water. Miss Ellis, the reason why certain areas in Barbados can't get water is because they can't get it distributed. Not because that we ain't got water.
But you know, this discussion has never been about a shortage of water. This is about how the taxpayers' money and the money from the water authority has been used otherwise. So, in other words, diverted from being channeled in that direction to other purposes.
Mr. Ellis,
that we have nothing to show for it. This is what we're talking about. Listen, you read the report?
Which report?
You read the latest Auditor General's report. Are you all in a position where a group of you just don't read nothing after because you don't like how it sounds?
Mr. Ellis, I just told you I do not have the passion for it anymore.
Which means you don't read the Auditor General's report?
Well, if nothing is going to happen, it don't make sense reading it.
Okay, so what's your subject today?
We are discussing water. And the reason why that we do not have water distributed, you know, because the water all over the island, but to get it distributed where they want it is because that we do not have the pipes to take it there. Remember from the very first time we went the router meters, it showed us clearly. The customers only using 40% of the water that was being pumped. The other 60 was still back down there in the ground. So we need to be able to distribute the water. And I, for one, objected to building a desal plant. Because the desal plant can put that water in the same pipes that can leak out 60%. So I never was in favor of that. Right now, if we can get 60% of the water to use, we would be comfortable. If we get 80%, we could start rotating the pumps and the wells and keep them up to a level. If we get up to 100%, we can start selling water without a desal plant. So we never needed a desal plant. And now we're still talking about commissioning more plants. Don't make sense, Mr. We want pipes to distribute.
Well, since you don't read certain things, I read some of them. So let me read something here for you. The Barbados Water Authority entered into a contract with a company for the supply of community water tanks to a number of locations. This company had made an unsolicited proposal to supply community water tanks with varying capacities of 1,000. 2,000 and 3,000 gallons and install them at various critical points where water outages mostly occur. These tanks were to be fully maintained by the company over 5 years at a cost of $67,000 a month. The audit comment, the authority should have gone to public tender for the supply of these community tanks rather than accepting the first proposal submitted. The tender process provides information on the price of what various suppliers are willing to accept to provide a good or service. Without such a competitive process, the authority would not be certain that it was receiving the best value for its money. And the general comment was, the authority entered into a number of contracts, various services and supplies during the period under review. However, these arrangements were not in line with their tender policies and lacked evidence as to how the authority determined that the contracted sums were reasonable. The decision-making in respect of these contracts was clearly not in the best interest of the authority. I may say to you, and not in the best interest of the people who want water in Barbados. You cannot look at one without the other.
Mr.
Mr. Ellis, but you know, hit the nail on the head, you know.
Yes.
I objected to getting individual tanks. I said from the beginning, all that we'll be doing is hoarding water. When you got a tank full of water and you shut up your house and go along to work, that is a tank.
Well, this is not a boat. You know,
So all of those things, I never supported.
This is not about whether you use the tank or not. This is about process. And even though, as has been said by the Auditor General, it is his understanding that a number of these projects were halted by the new administration due to a renegotiation process. Some money was spent along those lines. We are talking about the extent to which this particular matter, and matters of in this statutory corporation were handled in such a manner as to leave one to question value for money and the extent to which money was wasted. So when you complain about water today, you can't complain and forget that the processes that were followed and the extent to which they have hurt us.
Mr. Ellis, don't start with water today, Mr. Ellis.
You know, water is the special focus today because we got something in our hands to look at now. You know, this isn't just speculation. This isn't just wild talk. This is something concrete.
Mr. Ellis, I want you to listen to me a little bit, Mr. Ellis, because somehow you got enough passion today.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis, the reason why we went 4 meters is because water was a problem. So it didn't now start. As I told you already.
You don't want to hear, you don't want to hear anything on meters, they tell you that.
Exactly.
Because meters ain't here too, you know.
But from the time that we went, remember I told you there was a fund the water authority used to put aside for laying new pipes. Remember that? So that was all this on purpose. It was never done.
Listen.
I know you can come to tell me.
No. My friend, when you said that, I never disagreed with you. That went way back in the days.
Way back
in the days when Mr. Barrow was Prime Minister of Barbados.
So
And I never disagreed with the idea that money that really should have gone into the infrastructure of the Water Authority went into the Consolidated Fund. I mean, many people accepted that was an error. But people like you don't want to, when you say A, you got to say B. I will concede that. But at the same time, I think you have to recognize that there are some points that have been raised here in this report that we need to question how we got here.
Mr. Ellis, I don't have a problem with that. But I want me to do like what the song, the music said, start at the very beginning. We had no right building a diesel plant.
If we didn't build a diesel plant, as the people would say, dog would eat our supper today in some parts of this country. Anyhow, we in COVID, so we can't go to any watering hole. So we will just have to, you know, we will have to talk about this perhaps on another occasion on the phone, or better still, do a Zoom meeting. All right.
Some pipes was laid.
We gotta go. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello. It's 1:30.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, hi.
I will Walker Smith here from the Barbados Association of Private Child Care Operators.
Yes, ma'am.
I was listening to some of what your caller before this one was saying, and I just want to clarify a few things,
yes.
If I may.
Yes.
Number one, I understand, or the association understand, that this is some anxious time for our members, and it may feel as though the association, Barbados Association of Private Child Care Operators, have not been doing anything for the members. But, Mr. Ellis, we've been working behind the scenes. We had last month a Zoom meeting with one representative from the Child Care Board, as well as with the Public Health, and it was very informative. Okay, and then we were asked to submit some protocols from our end, which in we did submit those protocols. We have already sent letters to the Minister Minister Cynthia Ford, on behalf of our members. As recent as yesterday, we had the executive had a meeting with an accountant who was guiding us through the processes of doing our break-even, because as you're aware, when nurseries reopen, it will not be business as usual. So some adjustments will have to be made. So we already did all of those things. So my heart goes out to the previous caller that stated that the association, it does not have direction and everything like that. I would just like to say to our members to keep the faith. We just can't rush and open their nurseries. Things have to be put in place. So that's what the association has been doing with the help of the public health environment, environmental department, and a few persons.
How optimistic are you that you're making progress?
We are very optimistic, Mr. Ellis. We cannot be insensitive and say we want, because businesses are open, that nurseries should be open. One of the problems I suspect they're having is with the social distancing. How do you social distance little children? These are all things that have to be put in place. There's nothing that's going to be done overnight. Yes, we are hurting in our pocket. Yes, some of us, the nurseries, have been our main source of income for the past years. We understand all of that, and it would be wonderful if assistance can be given to operators to prepare their businesses for the process of reopening. But these things take time. We have to wait on the guidelines from the Ministry of Health before anything can be done.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling and clarifying that matter for us.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis, and have a good day.
You do too. A poll done by NPR, PBS NewsHour, and Marist Poll says that 67% of the people polled believe that President Trump has mostly increased racial tensions coming out of what has happened here with respect to the upheaval from a video which had captured the police officer with his knee on the neck of George Floyd. 92% of the Democrats felt that he had done so. 73% of independents felt that he increased racial tensions. 88% of African Americans and 63% of whites. Just 18% said he has decreased tensions, including 41% of Republicans. But check this, almost 6 in 10 Republicans believe that President Trump has either increased tensions, that's 29% of them, or are not sure, that's 30% of them. Now, that is a finding that the pollsters consider to be significant, especially in light of the fact that there's hardly anything that Trump has said or done in recent times that the Republicans haven't agreed with him on, because they've agreed with him on nearly everything. So one person says it is very unusual to see Republicans break with the name when the name Trump is presented, but that is the case here. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Turn your radio down or off, please. Thank you. Hello? Down to Brass Tacks. Yes.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis?
Hey.
Yeah. I want to mention something about the water system thing. Yeah, you went down here a pretty long time. I went down here a pretty long time. But there's certain things we know and certain things we ain't know. And how I can put it, that is DLP and BLP. And all two of those parties you can blame for this water system. From the time I come along, I'm still saying I'm young, but yet I'm young and yet I'm old. I'm still saying that we can blame all two of them for it. All two of them make mistakes, and all two of them make mistakes in the favor of themselves. For themselves. They do things for themselves. They ain't do nothing for the people of Barbados that I feel it should do. The little thing that they do, they take big things that they should do, they won't do.
Example?
They make, yeah, hello?
Example?
I am not even going for that now, but I
yeah, because you come to grandstand.
No, I think it's just like how you be talking. I could ask you an example too, and you put it and you.
You come to grandstand.
But,
You come to grandstand because if you just make a general accusation and you want me to take it and leave it.
I'm sure you love. I will tell you.
Give me examples.
I was working in the government. And coming out, I remember that. Listen good to me.
Turn the radio off. Turn off the radio.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
Down to brass tacks.
Hello?
Yes, it's now 1:41.
This
radio thing is serious. You don't seem to be able to control it. You're walking towards the radio now to turn it off, I suppose. Because it gets louder.
Hello.
Yes, you got it?
Yeah.
It off listen. Completely now?
Right, yeah.
Please do.
Listen, it, between somewhere in 93 and 73, 74 and 75, I remember...
Sorry, I don't know where you're going, you know. Look, we discussed this problem here today coming out of what the Auditor General's latest report has said about the Water Authority. I don't believe that it is useful to go back tonight to the period when Mr. Barrow was in office and all of that to look at what went wrong. We are talking about the specific report and the concerns arising from that report.
You're talking about happened lately?
Yes.
But the things I'm talking about happened lately too.
Like when? Like
they
what?
They just lately there when Mr. Barrow was alive.
That lately for me, that's a long time. That's a long time.
Listen. When Arthur was in power, then he come and find the place good luck with money and money that to spend on the water.
Sir.
And spend people
sir,
that
sir,
can
sir.
Work, get them money.
Sir.
Yeah?
Sir. You know, I'm going to agree with you so that we can move from that place to a new place. Let us agree that when you look over the years, mistakes have been made by both political parties in how the Barbados Water Authority has been handled. You and I am not going to disagree on that. All right?
Right, yeah.
You haven't seen the latest report, though?
No. Right. To be truthful, I didn't see it, but I hear when they're talking about it today. You talking about it today.
Mm-hmm.
About the latest report.
Yes.
But then, it should be... It's a lot more report that should have made, and it make.
Well, but you got to go with what you get. We only have this one right now to focus on. So let's deal with it.
I don't believe it should be focusing on that. I believe that
why not?
The right thing.
Let me ask you why not.
I believe that it's because all that drunk, all the rest drunk, and do work.
Boy, if you listen to this young lady who called us today talk about how things like this, how positions like yours cause people to become disenchanted with this country and cause them to question the Barbados that they were brought up in and what they were led to believe and what they were led to expect and what they are getting instead. You know, it is disheartening for many people. And you people like you who come and say the other ones get drunk, so drunk this too.
No, I wouldn't say direct drunk, but it is worse.
Well, don't drunk it completely, just half drunk it.
Listen. Left out the drunken and do the work. The work could be done that we can get water because the water here, you know. Everything the fooling you and making you believe in the water here, but the water.
But you have to do business properly. To be able to get the money to channel it in the right directions, each dollar counts. And creating opportunities where people can essentially rip off the people of the country cannot make sense.
But you remember this ripping off?
Listen to me. We have been ripped off before, yes. But if we have been ripped off, no. A lot depends upon the degree of the ripping off, too. I mean, a person could steal $10 from you. If a person stole $10 from you, you say, well, it's only $10. But if they steal $1,000 from you, it makes a lot of difference. It depends upon how the impact that it is having on you. So this is...
But you don't know it ever had impact on me. But I would say this is the worst. But you could forget about that and do the work.
No, we got to, no, sir. You can't do that. There's a time when you got to stand up and say, enough is enough. And the signal must not only be sent to those who have had power before, but it must be sent to those who have power now as well. Did you guys miss the point? If you allow this thing to continue in this way, it gets even worse every day.
Okay.
Right. And then at the end of the day, this is what you are seeing.
Yeah.
Once you are not channeling the money in the right direction, the areas in which it should go are starved. And when those areas are starved, you get what we are experiencing now. People calling and saying, I woke up this morning and I have not had water in my neighborhood for X number of weeks.
Miss Ellis, that is happening ever since.
Man, look, I can't talk to you no more because you are one of these people who believe that you should... Huh?
All right, let me show you.
Tell me, show me.
That you believe that why they should go down this way now is because you want one set of people to get hurt.
The Dems.
And another set to get killed.
So you feel that I should, that my call for something to be done is based purely on the issue of the BLP, DLP construct. Trust me, it's not about that because as I have just said to you, and I said earlier in this program, I hold the Labour Party to the same standard.
But that means they're not trying to show you now. So you see why now? Why now you're going to try now to say you're going to kill somebody?
You know, I was around when the Aki tree got cut, don't you know? You forget, we talk about all of that on this program, you know. You don't behave as though we just come to town. We've been around, we've been in town long, right here in River Road. Precisely, and we have spoken about, we spoke about things like this before. We talked about the golden showers as well.
Right.
We talked about all of those things and said they weren't right then.
This is what we want doing, man.
Come.
Ask the people that in there right now is to do the work and don't.
No, I am not going with you on that. You could talk as much as you like. I ain't agreeing to that. I feel that in this particular instance, the people of Barbados should call for action. It is wrong. What has happened is blatantly wrong. Okay? Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, I have two points to make, but I need to weigh on the discussion you had with the two ladies pertaining to the child care.
Yes.
The first lady had two points she made. One was that she wanted to have an idea. She didn't need an exact date, she says. That's a rough idea of when the child care would be opened up so that they couldn't get back to work. Just an idea. That's one. And the next one, she was playing for some kind of concession or subvention or something like that. Those were her two points. The second lady made a different point, though, responded to something that really wasn't mentioned. She was saying that there was a reason for the close down. The government can't open yet because of the COVID-19 and the course got to be clear and all of that. Well, that is true. That did not respond to the points that the lady was making.
I thought she did.
Subvention. She wanted to know about some cash. That second lady didn't speak anything about cash. Because the first lady made a very good point. If you close these nurseries for a long time, some of them definitely will have to go to business because the landlords, depend on how the landlords stand.
Okay, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Hasn't the government created a program to assist businesses that will have to make the case, though? If the government has created such a program, they don't need to create something that is exclusively for people in that business. She can benefit from that like anybody else.
Good point, Mr. Ellis, but that's the answer that the second lady should have given.
Well, that's the answer to be given.
That's the answer, but that wasn't given. So I don't know what...
But the only person to give the answer isn't the woman who called. I mean, you could have given it.
I didn't think about it, but I know that her questions weren't answered or something.
Well, perhaps I slipped it by not drawing that to her attention then, but she is she is as eligible for assistance as any other small business operator out there, as long as she can make the case.
as long as the national insurance was paid.
Whatever else. All she must meet certain requirements.
Right. Now, I know you're running out of time, but let me refer now to the discussion with Donovan, because Donovan said that 8 businesses were closed on the South Coast. And in that same vein, he mentioned one there by opposite Kentucky in Hastings, which is now reopened as Burger King. Now, I want to make the point that, yes, that gas station was closed, that the business is talking about, but that gas station was closed before the sewage problem that I had there. And that has nothing to do with the closure. That has nothing to do with the sewage problem. Part of the problem. And Burger King, there was never a food place there anyhow. Burger King is just a brand new business that has come there behind the gas station. Right? So I just think I should make that clear. You commenting on that?
No.
Okay. The other one, Mr. Ellis, is really a plea. I don't even know why this thing happened, but this is a plea to you for Mr. Glenn Murray to come back on the program as a moderator, right? And I can explain the reason why, because I hear him calling in. In the initial stages, people were saying that Mr. Murray was ill and that he couldn't come here to the studio and things like that. We know, I don't feel he's that ill now, because this has been a long time since Mr. Murray has continued to be contributing to the program, apparently from home.
You're something else, though, you know.
How is that?
Mr. Murray has worked with us as a moderator. Murray communicates with us, you know, from time to time based upon what is happening to him and stuff. You really believe that Mr. Murray would need you to interpret for him whether he is ready to come on the air or not? If that's the case, it is between him and us. So I don't know, you could sit down there and listen to the man and come to this conclusion. Well, I can be so presumptuous.
Okay, the reason why he comes to the conclusion, he calls in every day. So
yeah, but calling in every day, you don't have to leave home or come here or anything like that.
All right, the reason why I made the call now, because I thought of it before, but I said, well, it could be other kind of thing. The reason why I called now is because I saw during COVID-19 period, Mr. Stanker Price was doing it from home, and I think you're doing it from home too.
Only once. Because there are certain challenges associated with doing it from home. You know, it is not as simple as all that.
Oh, well, I don't know anything. But once it works, I figure you all would know how the technical aspects of it and how to get it working. But okay, if you can't get him back there to work, I still would hope that you could allow him 1 or 2 days to work from home. But the reason why I say that, right, Mr. Murray, to my mind, is one of the best moderators we have ever had, because he's been very fair and objective, right? And very polite, too. And he's very skillful, and he has a lot of experience, too, as far as working in the government. And he don't pick sides at all, I found so. And he's able to deal with some all kinds of different topics, because I know moderators, I see moderators run people off the program already for bringing in things like flat earth and things. And the thing is, when you bring these kind of topics to Mr. Murray, although it may not be in his line, he's still able to handle a discussion and make it interesting. And whereas other people would, I've heard moderators say, man, listen to me, I ain't had to do enough.
All right, I hear you and your pitch. And let me say to you, that I listen to everybody, and I therefore recognize the value that each and everyone will bring to this program. I mean, we have worked with several people, Mr. Murray among them, and depending upon how things are moving and what the situation is, from time to time you make changes to the program. Changes will be made, in the future.
You can get it once a month, then, Mr. Ellis, once a month.
I'm not committing to that kind of situation right here and now. I'm not going to do that. I feel that we should be free to make decisions based upon the prevailing circumstances. And, you know, we look at the program, we try our best to see what's happening in the country. Look, I'm excited about the whole idea of trying to find younger talent as well. I think that part of what we must do is mix the more mature with the younger people too, and to find ways of integrating them. I am also passionate about integrating Barbadians living abroad so that they see themselves as part and parcel of this process. Okay, and to look, and let me also add to this.
Yeah.
You speak about the known.
Yes.
But we also have to look for the unknown.
All right. In that regard, Mr. Ellis, I would like to see, because this used to happen before, I would like to see more university, could be students too, but more lecturers, like they used to one time.
Doing well.
Come on your program.
You mean as moderators?
Well, you had one or two that was moderators there already. But I mean even calling in or having discussion, because they're more authoritative than we who just call in and we using our subjectivity.
Yeah, you know, a lot of you need to make sure that when you call the program, for instance, today, nobody should call the program and talk about the Water Authority unless they took some time to read the newspaper or to go online and check the Auditor General's report. If you're going to speak about Water Authority today, doesn't make sense. So you got to do your own research as well. And the program is not just the moderator. This young lady who called us today,
right?
She really proves that point, that the call-in program is not the moderator alone.
I agree, but John Average is not going to go there and read that document. John Average will not. The majority of people will not read that document. However,
I'm encouraging them to do that.
However, though, they...
You don't know. You don't need everybody to do it. You just need one or two people to make sure that they are well informed.
Right, that's why. Like, and also, I would like them to see here. I don't mind listening to the discussion to and fro, one opinion versus the other, and then I will come away with something. But to go and sit down and read it, leave my work to go and read a document.
Oh, so you need us to help you understand the issues. That's the point.
Yes, basically.
So that's the exchange between the caller and the moderator that can help, you know. And as you see today, there's some regular callers who come through, but then you get some people that you don't hear at all. You hear some of them for the first time, and they bring value. And you have to take the good with the bad. The regular callers that some of you say, well, you get tired of, with those bright and interesting views that you get from other people. Thank you all very much for participating in today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. And thanks to Dennis Johnson, the technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon and a pleasant weekend.